thank you for joining us from around the world. This is Web Talk at webtalkradio.com. We talk about the latest and greatest stuff going on online every week, and I'm Rob Greenlee.
I'm Dana Greenlee. Thanks so much for listening. Straight ahead on the program this week, we'll discuss the cool tech toys coming out of the Consumer Electronics Show.
Top 10 online tech trends and areas to watch for 2004, and our digital mailbag. A 17-year-old creates a new simple programming language.
And we talk with Karen Howe. She's general manager of singingfish.com. We'll ask her about audio and video search online, which she's an expert, and get her view on AOL's recent purchase of singingfish.com, which is the leading audio and video search engine on the web. You'll find Singing Fish as the search engine for the Windows Media Player and the Real One Player, and of course in the new AOL search site.
From the day that we launched on the AOL site, because we are the audio-video search component on the AOL site, we've seen usage jump up, and that's been a nice shot in the arm just for us, as well as for AOL's confidence in our ability to deliver a strong service that members are interested in trialing, exploring, and getting to know better.
Rob and I are just back from the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. Good old CES. We're going to run through some of our more enlightening moments from the show.
Viva Las Vegas. We had a terrific time down at the show down in Las Vegas. Actually, the event was January 8th through the 11th. There was plenty of electronic gadgets down there for us to enjoy, and there was some internet-related areas down there at the show as well.
You know, the show wasn't actually open to the public, but that didn't stop about, what, almost 130,000 people from 110 countries, and it was crowded.
It's safe to say it was the biggest CES that's ever been held.
And it's also the largest trade show in North America. It was about 2,500 exhibitors. I felt like I saw every one of them, at least my feet did.
Yeah, it was huge. It was like 1.8 million square feet of exhibitor space.
Well, you know, we spent a lot of time, and we went there as press, a lot of time in the educational panels, keynotes, and sessions, getting information from the panelists on what they thought was good for the future, what was up and coming, and really spent only maybe the last few days running around the trade show floor. But we pulled some of the things that we thought were some of the best moments.
We actually saw Bill Gates's keynote speech, and he talked a lot about his smartwatch, which is something that's been coming down the line for quite a while. And he really pushed the Media Center PC concept, which is basically taking your digital media and making it available in the living room instead of on your PC in your office.
That sure was all over the place. The MC, the Media Center, you know, it's a $1,500 outlay, and it's available now. One of the few things in a way that seems to be available now, because a lot of the gadgets and electronic items there are going to be, that are, were just announced, and they had prototypes. But of course, I have to say about the keynote with Bill Gates, he wasn't the only guy on stage. He brought out a surprise celebrity. Jay Leno of The Tonight Show popped in and did little parodies of his Man on the Street interview, jaywalking, and kind of teased Bill Gates. And then speaking of parodies, Bill trotted out another video this year, as he does for both Condex and CES, where he continues the trend of making fun of Microsoft commercials or Microsoft culture he's done in the past, The Matrix and Austin Powers and The Real World. This time, they did an ad that was based on their current ads running that are touting how you're a winner at the office if you pick Microsoft as an office application like Windows Server or Windows Office Suite.
So it showed Bill sitting around a table with a bunch of other, I guess it would be safe to say that they were software geeks, and they came up with this cool software that would automatically make toast. And it basically showed this toast popping out of a toaster, and then at the end of the little video, it showed the toaster spinning on its corner, as well as the toast spinning on its corner, and everybody was cheering like they had invented something wonderful.
Well, I think they taglined it, you know, as everybody, all the geeks in the room, including Bill Gates, were dancing along with the dancing toast, is that, you know, Microsoft software is great, but geeks still don't have rhythm.
Well, and there was a few other interesting things that went on down at the show. And one of the best things was Microsoft had a e-home down there that was really displaying a lot of the state-of-the-art home entertainment systems using the new Media Center PC concept and being able to share digital files across your home. And they even rolled out a new, what's being termed a PVP, which is a personal video player, which is very similar to like a pocket PC type device. It's a little bit larger than that, but it basically has a hard drive. It's like a iPod that plays digital video. That was really a big hot thing down at the CES this year.
That was really cool. And also an MCX, that's the acronym for the Media Center Extender, which basically lets you bring that Media Center PC into every room. You just have an extender in your bathroom, you extender in your kitchen, extender in your living room. Heck, you can have it anywhere, and it pulls files, audio, video, that kind of thing from your PC.
For those that can afford to have $3,000 or $4,000 flat panels in every room in their house, right?
Which I have to say, I think one of the coolest things, the gadgets I'm going to have in my house before I get the Media Center PC, is Prismic's media player device. That's out right now. They're coming out with a new version of it in, I think, second quarter of 2004.
Yeah, and we've talked about that device on the show, and it's it got a bunch of awards again down at CES.
Well, and it's only $300. Go to Amazon.com and type in Prismic, and it's only $300 versus the $1,500 that you have to pay for the Media Center PC, which is cool. I love it, but if you're on a budget, and you know, I'll start out. Rob, I just have to touch on another Microsoft event. They invited partners of Microsoft and Windows Media to come to a little private party.
And we both attended.
Yeah, we both attended. There were a lot of private parties going on, as you can imagine. This one, Microsoft Windows Media people had rented out a whole cool nightclub called ICE in Vegas. And we got to witness, in a very intimate setting, the Grammy Award-winning singer, Jewel, perform just herself and her acoustic guitar.
Mm-hmm.
But Rob, what did you see that you thought was very interesting?
A Seattle CEO, Jeff Bezos, of Amazon.com, he was actually on the floor, just like, I think, like two persons back from the stage where Jewel was performing, and actually kind of looked like a Jewel fan. He was kind of looking up at her and was kind of very excited looking at her.
He wasn't the only guy looking up at her. It's like 9 out of 10 people were guys, and they were all staring at Jewel in a little cute Jewel-ness miniskirt, you know. But
it was just strange seeing Jeff on the floor with everybody else watching Jewel, you know. So, but anyway, it was kind of cool.
It was great. Thank you, Microsoft, for that entertaining evening. Of course, equal time to equal media platforms, Real Networks was there, and they had a great new launch of their Real 10, new, better quality sound, everything. They've got Rhapsody, which has been out for a little mm-hmm. while. Real nice service that I have on my computer now, too.
Well, and you got to play the
Rhapsody Jeopardy
game
right
in their booth. Yes, with John Curley, who is actually a host of Evening Magazine here in the Seattle area. And you had a good time in there. You actually won a six-month, free membership to Rhapsody, right?
That was cool. Yep. As much as who was there, who wasn't there? The very surprising big, big gadget firm that was not there was Palm.
Palm One. I mean, they had a meeting room, but they didn't have a big booth.
Well, the meeting room was deserted.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted to go see them about my Palm. I met Palm people standing in line for this or that event, but
I mean, it was really amazing that they didn't have a booth down there, but they still have terrific products, and actually they're dominating the industry right now, so I figured they probably thought they didn't need the display.
Well, and I just have to say the best coddling of jaded journalists goes to the CES press room. Rob and I spent quite a bit of time every day in the press room, and I think it was our first experience at a big event in a press room.
It was huge. There was like 4,000 media at this event.
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
And they fed us gourmet food every day. They gave us, you know, luggage. They gave us tons of paper to carry around and free use of telephones, call anywhere in the U.S., lots of great computers and printers and anything you want just to help you get the word out. I think I read that there was about 5,000 articles and features written about CES this year.
Yeah, it was really amazing. And one of the most overwhelming things that you saw at CES was the amount of flat panel displays. I mean, we didn't see any regular tube displays at all. And also Windows Mobile. It seemed like they were everywhere throughout the CES display area and multiple booths in multiple places. So Microsoft is really putting a push on their Windows Mobile platform. And I think we're going to see a lot of Windows Mobile, some of the new devices that are coming out. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in the next segment of our show today.
And if you want to hear more of our thoughts on CES, read the article. We're just posting it up yesterday, and it'll be on the website, webtalkradio.com. You can read more details about
and
it.
And we'll have links and more information about some of the things we've talked about right in that article. Stay with us, because up next after the break, we're going to talk about the top 10 internet tech trends and areas to watch for 2004. This is Web Talk Radio.
The Web Talk guys are thrilled to be your radio hosts, but we'd also be thrilled to host your website, too. The Web Talk guys' website hosting service combines a high-speed, dedicated internet connection and the marketing power of a link from the show's website to help you. We offer all the standard hosting stuff for a very low, limited-time hosting price of only $10 a month for the first 3 months. To learn more, go to webtalkguys.com and click on Web Services or email info@webtalkguys.com. You can reach us by calling area code 253-640-0164. Web Talk guys, not just your radio hosts, but also your total hosting solution.
Get that modem screaming. Get your T1 powered up, because the Web Talk guys will be sending tons of data through your fat pipes. Megabytes of information are about to invade your hard drive. Connect now.
This, for those of you who may have forgotten, is the Dr. Fraser Crane Show.
This is Web Talk Radio, and I'm Rob Greenlee at rob@webtalkradio.com. And remember, you can listen to our show anytime from our website at webtalkradio.com.
And this is Dana Greenlee. I'm at dana@webtalkradio.com. Rob, last week you wrote a very interesting article, your predictions of the top 10 internet tech trends and areas to watch for 2004. So let's run through them, and then we'll get out our digital mailbag.
Yeah, the number one trend that I'm kind of seeing out there that we should pay attention to is the decline of the web browser. And there, actually, one and two are very similar here on my list, because the inverse of that is the use of online applications. And what I'm really saying here is that people are going to be using the browser less to access information that comes across the World Wide Web, because they're going to be using applications like the Windows Media Player, the Instant Messenger tools out there. Actually, Nielsen Net Ratings just did a study of the top five applications that use the World Wide Web and the internet, and the number one is Windows Media Player, the AOL Instant Messenger, and the Yahoo Messenger, and the MSN Messenger, and RealPlayer. There's going to be more programs come about that use the internet, but not through a browser.
Yeah, I love that Google Desk Bar.
Yeah.
Rob, number three hot new trend for 2004, your prediction?
It's wireless.
Wireless.
We're going to see a lot more wireless-related devices, cell phones, PDAs, that use Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, ultra-wideband. And really, the biggest area that I think we're going to see really start to grow is the removal of wires from your desktop.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm certainly happy to see that. I'm tired of having so many wires plugged into my computer, because it looks terrible.
They just start out with the wireless keyboard, the wireless mouse. Those are all really nice, except you get that whole remote syndrome going on where you kind of pick it up and walk away and leave it somewhere and no one can find it.
Wi-Fi is going to continue to grow. I mean, we're going to see it even in free networks that are put online by cities and municipalities. There's been a movement for years on building in fiber optic infrastructure by cities, and I think we're going to see that happen a lot more with the wireless.
And I just want to tell on you, Rob's consulting with a large Washington State city about how to integrate wireless, make basically the whole downtown core wireless.
Yeah.
And that's great. We can't really announce what city that is yet. But
no, it's not quite to that point, but it's coming.
But he's putting it together. So any other city people out there that are looking for someone that has experience putting it together and making your whole area a one big hotspot, call Rob. Rob, what's the fourth hottest trend for 2004?
Home digital media. It's the movement of digital media, just like we talked about in the prior segment relating to CES, is the movement of video and audio into the living room. Mm-hmm. We're going to see it in more devices. We're going to see it coming off of your Wi-Fi networks as the bandwidth within Wi-Fi, which is getting up to about 108 megabytes per second, which is enough bandwidth to get video going to your television off of your PC.
Yeah, you record your TV shows onto your PC, and you watch it in without having to transfer or burn anything on your TV set, wherever that might be.
And you can also look at your photographs. You can listen to internet radio. You can listen to
your MP3s that you've illegally
your music, or, and actually we've talked a lot about in the show, is time-shifted radio content where you record through like replay radio. Those kind of things you can listen to on your schedule, just like a TiVo.
And number five in the hottest areas is kind of a, basically a flavor of what has been hot in the past years, which is blogs. But the distinction here is
professional blogs,
ones that
are actually run by professional journalists, online experts, and major media companies. That's kind of how things are moving. And if you look back on what happened with personal web pages, you can see a strong correlation with what's happening here, where more and more personal blogs, which is really what started this hot trend, are going to become increasingly more out of date. People are just going to get tired of posting because they're not seeing any return for it. And this everything's moving over to blogs, actually. WebTalk Guys, we're going to be launching a new blog, and we're going to use it as a content distribution method, not necessarily a journal of our life.
Any of you guys ever clicked over to our current blog? Yeah, we kind of lost interest in that, too. It was very clunky, and it was part of Blogger. But this one's going to be different, and you're right.
Yeah.
Use RSS to distribute it.
Exactly. And that's the other major trend that's related to this is RSS, and we've talked about that on the show quite a bit over the last few weeks. And that's going to basically enable syndication of all sorts of forms of content to your desktop. And this is another trend that related to people not using their browsers.
As we continue the countdown of the remaining five hot trends.
We got to get through these quicker. We're taking too long.
Well, mobile. What can I say about mobile?
Mobile and wireless, it's all part of the same thing. But the major trend that I'm seeing here is Windows Mobile is starting to really come on the scene. And I think we're going to hear a lot more about Windows Mobile devices this coming year. 2004 is the year for Windows Mobile, and it's going to have an impact.
And is this the year also, number seven, that voice over IP is actually going to be used rather than just talked about?
Well, yeah, what's happening here is a lot of the major telco companies are going to be rolling out services to the consumer or to regular telephone users related to voice over IP, just because they have to in order to compete against some of these online companies like Vonage and some of the ones that are starting to pick up a couple million customers. And if the major telcos don't deploy voice over IP services, they're going to lose out.
We picked up one little handset that we can use for voice over IP while we're at CES, and we'll talk about that in the coming weeks, our experience of using the internet to talk on the phone.
Yeah, it's really a great way to reduce your costs of long distance.
Online radio, number eight. Why would you pick that, I wonder?
Well, it's going to continue to grow as broadband gets more acceptance out there. There's more people connecting at a faster speed. Online radio becomes more of a significant entity. This whole trend of streaming and things is kind of being driven by music and videos primarily. But as the consumption of radio online reaches about 20 million listeners per week, there's going to be a flood of advertising revenue come into
hallelujah.
The industry.
Yeah, yeah, advertising revenue.
Yeah,
that's
well,
lifeblood.
Well, and most people have gotten used to commercial-free radio, and I think there's going to be a distinction. You're going to pay for commercial-free, but you're going to get commercials with your radio that you want to listen to for free, just like with radio.
Number nine is search, and please explain why that is hot, because it's kind of been around for a long time.
Well, there's big changes coming to the search area. If you look at what's happening to Google and Yahoo and Microsoft, all three of those players, and you even have to throw in AOL now as a significant player in the search game. They acquired Singing Fish, and we're going to talk about that later in the show. And when Yahoo cuts the connection with Google here in the next few months and goes to their own search technology, it's going to impact Google. And actually, online search should also be watched from the standpoint that there's more and more indexing of content that isn't on the World Wide Web. It's content that is in deep databases. And a good example of that is what Amazon did here recently with their search inside the book concept. And we're going to see more of those type of things happen in 2004. We're also going to see location-based search, more indexing of digital media, and more clustering of keyword results within the search engines.
I like number 10 because it's interesting in a unique spin. It's the new kind of celebrity. We're talking how the internet pushes the regular celebrity into a different realm because of what the internet can do to spread gossip, I guess.
Well, it's just a very effective way of getting information about people and things that they're doing that may be controversial. And the perfect example is Paris Hilton, what happened to her this year. I mean, nobody knew about Paris Hilton before the online sex video hit the internet.
Now it's like every third spam email is about, see, you know.
Yeah, Paris. So really monitoring spam emails and watching the top 5, top 10 keyword searches that are being done online can really give you a good glimpse into what the high-impact trends are that are happening in the next year.
Well done, Rob. I enjoyed reading your article. Anybody wants to go read more in-depth about what we just talked about, check out webtalkradio.com and click on the article section. Rob's top 10 trends for the 2004. Now we're digging into the digital mailbag, a printout from email we got from Brandon. I love this. Brandon wrote us and said, I'm a 17-year-old software developer and overall technology fanatic. Okay, that's a 17-year-old software developer. That's terrific, Brandon. Over the past 3 years, I've been developing a programming language. Can I say the next Bill Gates?
Yeah, there you go. There's not too many 17-year-olds developing programming languages, I don't think.
And he goes on to say he wants to make this incredibly easy way to get started making simple Windows programs. It is like Bill Gates Jr.
Yeah.
There are too many languages that make programming seem complicated and out of reach. He says, I wanted to provide a tool that was quick, easy, and fun. Fun and programming languages. I think those go well together.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So Brandon says he released it as a freeware so that everyone can see how to use it. And he thought it'd be a great tool to submit to us because it's designed for people who have no prior experience in programming. And this is a great
What are they saying about us?
Yeah.
I mean, what's Brandon saying about us? We're not programmers.
It's like, true.
Yeah, it is true.
Those that can't do talk. And his website, Rob, is?
Is at leopardprogramming.com. And we're going to put a link to this on our website. And it's really a great tool if you want to learn how to do some basic scripting and programming of a Windows application. He's really made it simple here. So go check it out.
Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you, Brandon.
And if any of you guys want to write us and have some tips to share or something you've created or programmed, just contact us at rob@webtalkradio.com or dana@webtalkradio.com. We'll do our best to get your thoughts and comments on the show.
Support for the Web Talk Guys every week is provided by Compass Communication, a major international bandwidth peering and server colocation provider located in the Seattle area in the world-famous Westin Building that's sitting on the NETS gateway to Asia and is located on the backbone at ccom.net. And give Ed a call.
Definitely want to thank a couple more of our sponsors. That would be InfoCreek.com. They're very talented web designers. They have done a great job on the about-to-be-launched new WebTalk Radio website, and definitely think you should go look at their portfolio, infocreek.com. Also, a special thanks to Microsoft's Windows Media folks. They're great supporters of our show. You can find us all over the Windows Media universe.
Yes, and go check out their site. They've got a terrific list of content. I mean, obviously, you like to listen to streaming stuff if you're listening to our show, so go to windowsmedia.com.
After the break, we'll speak with Karen Howe, general manager of singingfish.com.
This is Web Talk Radio.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, get in there and talk about www.com. You got them naked chicks on there, man. You go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
Get your dot-com drama, your startup, crash and burn report, your high-tech hoopla right here, right now on the Web Talk Guys World Radio Show.
Welcome back to Web Talk Radio at webtalkradio.com, and thank you for listening. And I'm Rob Greenlee, and Dana Greenlee is in here with me again.
Audio and video search online is very popular, especially as broadband starts expanding into more homes, reaching that mass market level. People are starting to think more about audio and video online. They can watch it, they can listen to it. Well, recently AOL acquired SingingFish.com. It's a Seattle-based company, which is the leading audio and video search engine on the web. They are the providers of search for Windows Media Player and the Real One Player, and especially now, the new AOL search site, which is doing something very interesting. They're leading the evolution into blending multimedia search with web page search results all on one page.
To tell us all about audio and video search online and the AOL deal for Singing Fish is Karen Howe, who's the general manager of SingingFish.com, a new member of the AOL family of companies. Karen, welcome to the show, and thank you for joining us again.
You bet. It's great to be back.
I'm sure that a lot of our listeners have heard all about your big AOL news, but I'm sure that there's many that have not heard about it. Can you fill us in on some of the details?
Well, if there's three people out there that haven't heard,
it's
funny how you get overwhelmed by your own news, and it seems inconceivable that some of mine not know. But Singing Fish was recently acquired by America Online, and this took place basically on the 14th of November, mm-hmm. which is terrific news literally for everybody. I mean, it works out great from our former parent company's point of view because having an internet company as part of their portfolio didn't make a whole bunch of sense, whereas being part of AOL makes a tremendous amount of sense, and yeah. we're in with a whole group of people that really know what we do.
Mm-hmm. That makes a big difference, doesn't it?
It does.
How did they approach you, and was it a long-term negotiation, or did they just surprise you one day with a bunch of money?
You know, the way it worked out was that we were going to them as a regular sales process, saying, hey, how would you like to pick up this service?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, yes, and how about more than just the service?
Like everything, right?
Yeah, you know, that this could be a bigger discussion if we were interested in entertaining that notion.
Yeah.
And we thought about it and thought, you know, this could be just the right thing for us. This could really get us the exposure that we're looking for to really get audio video search as an even broader used facet
exactly.
of search. And it could really take us someplace that we always knew we could get to, but this would jumpstart it so you could actually get there faster and you could see the actual roadmap of how you could do it. And so what happened was it was actually a perfect partnership that just from the get-go. It was clear that that would be the right partnership for us. We certainly explored other possibilities, and there were other options that were open to us. AOL was the best choice for all around.
Now, is the deal going to make you guys still separate, or are you guys going to really kind of be absorbed over time, and are you guys going to have to move back east? And
I'll answer your last one first. Nobody's moving, and the entire staff is retained.
Oh,
and in fact, we were able to add a slot.
That's great.
I know. This is one of those really unique and special circumstances where they knew that they not only wanted the IP because of the points of differentiation it provided, they also felt that the employees were assets that needed to be retained and kept happy. And so we're staying in Seattle. And fortunately for us, there's a whole other group just down the street that's part of TGIC, which was a prior AOL acquisition.
Oh.
So we'll be moving into their building come the next year,
okay.
which is perfect because now here we're going to be with 100 other folks
that
are part of AOL, and they're a different division. They're part of wireless, but that's going to be fine and because there's a part of our business that I could see going in that direction quite comfortably.
Sure.
Just having a stronger base or a stronger satellite office as a part of AOL is terrific so that you are present, you're on the corporate roadmap or map, as it were, mm-hmm. and you don't get ignored or forgotten. In terms of us running as a P&L, we are very closely monitoring exactly how to operate as a P&L. So making money is part of our charter. That's exactly what we're designed to do. And this has, again, enabled us to do a shortcut to get to it faster.
Karen, will you be able to retain your CEO title, or how does that get handled?
The way it works is that I become general manager of Singing Fish, and I'm a vice president within AOL.
Oh, that is definitely an upgrade.
Well, you know, that's so cool that they did that, because they don't just do that for anybody. I was asking, you know, at first when I got my offer letter saying, so are you guys like a bank and everybody's a vice president, or what's the deal here? They said, no, and we don't just, as we acquire companies, make the general manager automatically a vice president. It's because we think this type of search component is so important, we wanted to give it that kind of status.
Mm.
And what that gives me is a lot more autonomy and flexibility to build things out the way that I think the market's going to require.
Well, and I bet you will be traveling east a few times.
You know what? I'll be spending a lot of time in Dulles, Virginia.
Yeah, I would think so.
But I plan on sharing that wealth with the other employees. You know, they can get on a plane too, by golly.
Yeah, that's true. Let's kind of skip ahead here and talk a bit about the Singing Fish technology and kind of your usage right now. I mean, you guys have made this transition over to AOL, and I'm sure not everything is integrated yet, but I'm sure you guys are working on that. Have you guys seen a significant growth in the usage, and is there any changes to the technology?
From the day that we launched on the AOL site, because we are the audio video search component on the AOL site, we've seen usage jump up, and that's been a nice shot in the arm just for us, as well as for AOL's confidence in our ability to deliver a strong service that members are interested in trialing and exploring and getting to know better.
Mm-hmm.
We're able to do some points of differentiation for the broadband folks as well, just showing broadband content or specialized AOL content that's broadband-enabled. In terms of changes to the technology that we anticipate, what the AOL acquisition means for us is that we can put quality components and some new search technology into next year's roadmap, whereas before, it would have been a real struggle to put certain initiatives into the product roadmap because you would have had to be able to cost-justify them immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Under the old structure. But as a part of AOL, this enables us to invest differently in products and services or components of the service that we simply wouldn't have been able to do before.
Yeah.
It allows us to do it now.
Wow.
So our roadmap for the types of innovations that we want to put into Singing Fish, we probably have 20 or 30 different initiatives that we would like to do. We'll clearly not do all of those next year, but it gives us a clean idea of, wow, we could do this, and if we lift constraints, which in effect we're doing, we could do this and this to make audio-video search ubiquitous, make it easy, increase the pleasure of the experience or the information gathering out of the experience, whatever it is the end user is trying to derive out of that query, for example, and just, again, make it much more commonplace and not just a novelty.
Well, Karen, can you fill in any of the blanks in those new initiatives?
You know, I really can't right now. It's premature because none of this is signed off on.
Sure.
We're in the planning stage for 2004, and that's all a core part of our business plan. And as soon as we get those initiatives signed off, you'll actually start to see them immediately take place in the service.
They move.
But one of the first things you're going to see is just a continued rise in quality.
Certainly, with this merger, you guys are on the map, as I say. Do you see this kind of triggering kind of a domino effect across all the search engines? I'm talking about Google and Yahoo, that all of a sudden now audio and video search is now on the roadmap with them much quicker than it probably would have been without this deal?
I would imagine that any time an acquisition like this takes place, that there are folks in other boardrooms that say, what the heck just happened and what does it mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going through their own assessments about what the heck just happened and what does it mean and did we miss something?
Yeah, exactly.
And, they're going to have to prioritize that against all their other priorities.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have to figure out for themselves where audio-video search makes sense given all the other things that these other companies have to accomplish.
Yeah.
So I would say that we still have a strong leadership position in the marketplace.
Yeah.
I anticipate extending that lead substantially in 2004.
Well, it goes without saying that AOL buying Singing Fish has basically taken it off taken you guys off the table from anybody else, and that was a huge benefit for AOL. So it definitely works both ways, like you said.
Well, it's a good control point to have within the organization. For those products and services you can get as commodities, like perhaps other types of search, you know, that's one option, but to have something like audio video search, which is more specific and more in a future direction, you know, having that control point in-house where you can determine how you want that to develop and grow is, I think, an important advantage to a company.
Karen, why do you think AOL bought you guys? What was the vision? What were they thinking, do you think?
Well, they are always tuned to what's going to make a really strong member experience. What they care about literally is the end user experience as someone is doing a search, for example, or just even online with AOL and within the client, the AOL client, because they fundamentally understand that unless that experience is really terrific, you'll either drop your subscription or you'll migrate away from the site and you'll use other sites, other destination sites or other portals outside of AOL. Yeah. And all of these metrics are tracked by ComScore. So how long you're on a site, what sites you go to, what feeds what site into the next site, that's all measured across mm-hmm. major portals and is put into this ComScore list. So what AOL has been steadily able to do is to increase the online time that people are spending online and increase the satisfaction level of individuals that use the AOL service. Mm-hmm. And also figuring out, well, okay, what you're looking for ultimately as you get to shareholder value is lifetime value of customer. And so you want to do ultimately is have great customers that enjoy spending their time online with you, with AOL, and also invest in AOL by either paying their subscriber fees, but also engage in commerce and other activities. Mm-hmm. So where I think we fit into this is that we add to that overall member experience that's unique, strong, differentiated, exciting, compelling, and makes you want to, well, maybe upgrade to that broadband or stay online that a bit longer. Our own research indicates that people like to watch or listen to audio and video for 2 to 6 minutes on average.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long period of time.
And certainly the perception out there is that broadband goes right along with audio and video. So it makes sense if that's what AOL's bigger vision is to be a broadband provider as well as a content provider, then it makes sense to push video in their search results. Stay with us and connected. We're going to continue with Karen Howe, who's the general manager of SingingFish.com. You're listening to Web Talk Radio.
Check it out. Listen to Web Talk. Totally for sure. Your old man's not here.
I'm Rob Greenlee, and this is Web Talk Radio at webtalkradio.com.
And this is Dana Greenlee. And on the phone with us is Karen Howe. She's a new vice president at AOL. And she's been the CEO of SingingFish.com, which was recently acquired by AOL. They're the audio and video search technology that brings you results within Windows Media and Reel, and of course at AOL now.
One of the things I wanted to ask you was, do you think that AOL is going to roll out a more of a comprehensive search result? Because right now, most of the search engines have like tabs that separate, you know, you either search the web or you search for audio or you search for video.
Right.
Do you see that kind of coming together into one search result?
Well, what I can say about it for right now is that the tab implementation is certainly one that people are kind of used to. Mm-hmm. And they understand what to do with the tab. But I think AOL is constantly looking at ways to innovate, to figure out, well, is there a way to, say, mix results? Is there a way to form a different type of user interface navigation schema that is actually more intuitive to
mm-hmm.
people?
Yeah.
And so I would say that you could expect innovation from AOL in this particular front because it's one that they are focused on, again, because it's going to be a better experience for the members. So I can't tell you anything more specific than that.
Mm-hmm. You know, Karen, I was, of course, Web Talk Guys is heavily indexed with Singing Fish, and we appreciate that very much. And we noticed in one of the refers, someone came to us from the AOL search in France, and it was really interesting. We hadn't realized it had been integrated, but we went and looked up Web Talk Guys in this AOL search for France. And
right.
It is. It's just integrated right in the text search, and it's really clean and neat how it shows MP3, different entries.
That's the only implementation that I'm aware of where it's mixing audio and video results together.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're taking a look at that very closely to see, okay, so what's the click-through and what are the metrics mm-hmm. that we can apply against that? Of course, France only has a 16% penetration for broadband.
Oh,
so
you have
to kind of map out expectations vis-a-vis what's the reality over there.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's a great way to learn.
Yeah.
You know, and we're hopeful of getting up on other AOL properties. Like, for example, we're already live on the UK site.
Oh, really? Well, that's terrific. It certainly seems like blending those results together really gives the complete picture to that user. And I'm hoping it works out that way.
Yeah, that's my personal objective, certainly, is to see something, an implementation of something along those lines.
Let's talk about whether or not you guys are moving in the direction of any kind of voice recognition indexing. Are you guys heading in that direction? I know we talked about that a few months ago when, mm-hmm. when we had you on the phone last time. And is there anything new in that
front? Nothing that we're working on at this time in voice recognition.
Okay.
No, we're very focused right now on the core service.
Okay. Now, as a content provider, I think something has changed as far as being able to freely submit some audio content that a producer has made to Singing Fish. Is that right? I think, is there now a new component to how
we're
to do that?
We're in the process of trying to figure out what our policies are going to be mm-hmm. so that we can have lightweight web crawling or spidering of content sites and allow people to upload their information easily, but we are in the process of actually kind of gutting the old program and figuring mm-hmm. out how it needs to be modified under the AOL banner, and how do we make it easier for people to put their content into Singing Fish, or rather their index, their information into Singing Fish.
As it stands today, if I was a new radio program just being webcasting, what advice would you give that person as far as...
Basically just contact us. If you just hit help at Singing Fish or webmaster Singing Fish, we'd be able to help get your stuff ingested properly. Okay. Basically just need to know you exist, mm-hmm. and we'll send, you know, if you're fine with it, we'll send crawlers in your direction.
And it's still important to get all that metadata
I'm sorry. I didn't know you were going there with that question. But on the metadata side, that's right. We are continually scanning across at least 72 different fields for metadata. And we love things like title, mm-hmm. producer, duration, bitrate, any kind of topical information you can give us about what the content of the program is about.
Sure.
So mm-hmm. that when people do a great query, that they get something that closely matches their expectations.
One last question here is when a user goes and does a search result and it comes up, let's say they search for an article on a recent news story or something like that, and it comes up with a link to a video or audio segment, mm-hmm. In that search result. Do you see the content provider expecting that link that comes up in the search result to be a link that can be monetized somehow, almost like on a subscription model or something like that? Do you guys have any thought on the direction that might go, whether or not when a person clicks on a link, they get maybe a sample of the stream and then it goes to like maybe a pay-for-play kind of a concept? Or are you guys playing around with those kind of models?
Well, we're certainly pursuing the paid inclusion model right now, which mm-hmm. is we don't guarantee placement of yeah. where that result shows up in a query results page, but we will guarantee that it is technically available in the index.
Mm-hmm.
And so what people have the opportunity to do, and I think this is a strong point of leverage for an advertiser, is to be able to customize that landing page. Normally what we do is when we spider or crawl an internet site such as yours, mm-hmm. we would typically find the streams, index the streams, and the referring web page that would come up would be your home page.
Yeah.
Okay, so okay. your opportunity here is if for some reason you wanted to license your content to individuals, in which case you would go ahead and you would want to change that referring web page to be something very specific to that particular content.
Okay.
This is very relevant, of course, for people that have different kinds of streams,
mm-hmm.
and it would be inappropriate to go to the home page because people wouldn't know what to do about that. Typically, we would pop up the referring page so that the content owner gets credit for that effort
yeah.
and work and content.
Sure.
Why not turn that into a commerce opportunity?
Yeah.
Because you control it. You can test offers. If this one works, great. But maybe you want to try a different one and see if you can get a higher response rate or a higher click-through. And, of course, you can have multiple links on that referring web page to take people someplace else altogether. So it gives the advertiser an opportunity to engage in more of a relationship and almost mimicking a dialogue, if you will, with a potential consumer. So I see it as a strong value proposition to an advertiser as well as a value proposition, frankly, to an end user, because about 30% of all queries are commerce-related.
Yeah.
So why not make it easy?
Certainly, there's a lot of content that's behind, like, subscription models. I mean, like, if you look at the Real One Superpass, a lot of new sites are starting to have subscription firewalls that are being put up where you have to have a username and password. You pay a monthly fee.
You bet.
As content goes behind those mm-hmm. those walls of subscription, that's going to lock you guys out from being able to index it, I'm sure.
Right up until you go and talk to them and say, you know, this is a perfect avenue for you to
mm-hmm.
put samples of great content accessible so that you can expose your content to a more broad audience.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, even like I'll use studios as a case in point, nobody knows which studio released what movie. Mm-hmm. But the studios tend to have a bit of an egocentric response, which is, well, we're a studio. Of course, they'll just go to our site.
Yeah.
Well, no.
They don't care. They just want to get to the content.
Yeah. I mean, do you know what label half the artists are on? No.
Yeah.
There's no way you would know that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just assuming that people are going to gravitate automatically to your home site is not entirely correct.
Yeah, that's true. Karen, it was great having you on the show again.
Hey, Rob Tana, just a treat to be here.
Yeah, we appreciate it. And it was fantastic news about your new relationship with AOL.
We couldn't be more delighted.
Yeah, that's great.
And it's been a thrill to talk to a vice president of
AOL.
That's
right.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's titillating, I know.
Good. Well, wish you a lot of success. We'll be watching.
Okay.
Thanks.
Well, good. I hope so.
This is Web Talk Guys Radio, and that's it for this week. We sure do appreciate you letting us into your ears during the last hour.
Please meet us here next week and tell your friends about the show. Remember, the Web Talk Guys is streamed via the internet 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so you can always get it right here.
Yeah, and if you missed part of the show, well, we have each segment separately available for listening when it's convenient for you.
Remember that we list links to websites we talked about today at our website at webtalkguys.com.
And of course, a big thanks to you, Rob, our host.
And thank you too, Dana. And Dana's also our terrific show engineer. And we'd also like to thank you for being a loyal listener and hope to see you again next week. We'll see you around the net.
Thank you for downloading the Web Talk Guys. Bookmark us now for next week. Same Web Talk Guys time, same Web Talk Guys channel.